Company of One, episode number 35.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan. Dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
And I am Dale Callahan, and I'm your host of Company of One. And again, this is the 35th episode where we are challenging you to take control of your personal income, to explore possibilities, and to make some things happen. This week in this episode, what I'm going to do is start, and we might actually do this a couple of episodes, but challenge you to think towards your next year's plan. Here we are. I am in November at the time this is released. And, you know, toward the end of November, it's a good time to start thinking toward the 2014 in this case, or your next year's plan, whichever year you're listening to this. You know, how do you get started on the next year? How do you make it the best year ever? How can you make a head start so that starting in January 1st, you don't already feel like you're behind, which is how I usually feel. I feel like I'm behind starting on the first of the year, and it's just a running race to catch up. So we're going to talk about some processes to put into place right now to help you do that. But before we get to that, I want to thank every one of you for the feedback that you've given me on the survey. Now, I've probably said it before, and I'll probably say it again, but that's really helpful when you see comments come back, not only from the survey, but then as I put out the survey results. And by the way, the survey results are still coming in, so still feel free to go look at that, take the survey. I'm still reviewing the results and seeing if anything, any trends change. But even after putting out the survey results, I have heard from many of you, and I haven't gotten back to you yet. Apologize for that, but I've been inundated by email from various things, including that. But it was just so great to hear from people that, you know, so often we're silent. We watch and we absorb material and we don't communicate. You know, in the world of blogging and podcasting, it seems like it's a one-way transmission to you, but quite frankly, it's not. Quite frankly, this is a two-way transmission. And it's really helpful when we hear from you, or when I hear from you, and then when others that we're working with here get some feedback about what's going on and what's helpful. If you'll notice back on the survey results that's posted on my blog, that a couple of things stand out. One is that most of you are family, your household income is over $100,000 per year. That's stunning. And now, when you put it into context, look at the age group, while there's people at various age groups listening to this, they dominate professionals just based upon the age group ranking. And I guess this question might have not been the best way to ask this, but 96% of you wanted to increase your income. So 4% of you did not. Thought that was interesting. But and several of you were wanting to do that, or there's at least me reading between the lines, you're wanting to do that through starting businesses, growing businesses, starting blogs, which by the way is a business, writing books, again, by the way, a business. So many of you have kind of stipulated some goals. And I want you to think about how you answered that survey. Think about how you answered that survey and the questions that you answered, because some of those are the things that are, I think, what you did is you specified personal goals that's going to come into your next year's planning. So think about, did you put, you wanted to increase your income, or you wanted to start a business or grow a business or get promoted, or what were those things you stipulated in that survey? And again, if you haven't taken it yet, I'm looking for feedback. The survey is a great way. You know, the more you can tell me, obviously checking the boxes is helpful, but writing in comments, you know, and there was many of you that did, and it was extremely helpful to me to look at what am I talking about here? How can I best do something that be useful and meaningful to you? Which is why this subject of today's show, not only is it something I'm doing, but something I think all of you can benefit from, is how you want to start planning next year. And if you listened, if you have not listened to episode number 34, dalecallahan.com/34, the interview with Cliff Ravenscraft. Really great interview. Now, several of you told me on the survey that you think we should drop this down to a 30-minute podcast, which this one will be today, 30 minutes or less. Cliff was anything but, and had I kind of thought about it, I would have broken Cliff's up into two different podcasts. But I didn't, and that's okay. It's a long podcast, but that's just how Cliff is. Cliff is very passionate about what he's doing. When you get Cliff talking, he wants to tell you everything. You can just see it in his eyes. He just wants to tell you everything. And by the way, that Cliff, well, technically Cliff wasn't a reverse interview. That's how reverse interviews tend to go. So some of you have read my post on reverse interviewing, and you've talked to, maybe, you know, thought about going out and doing reverse interviewing. Listen to some of these interviews I'm doing with these people, because that's essentially what I am doing. I'm reaching out and doing reverse interviews with them. We just happen to be doing it on the air. Am I trying to provide stuff to you? Yes. But every time I interview somebody, I find myself taking notes, walking away with information and things that are helpful to me. And every time I have somebody come speak in a group event, I'm finding myself taking notes about what they say. So hopefully you'll go back and listen to that. Also, we had, I think, four interviews this last couple of months with four different people, starting with the Brian Rabin interview, which I believe was podcast number 18, which is another one I hear a lot about. So before we get to the 2014 planning, I just kind of want to put something out there that I keep hearing about. I'm a Christian, and many people will come up to me after I speak and talk about, we're called to be content in our job. That faith is part of what we do for a living, and that's true for me, that what I do for a living is part of me living out my faith. If you listen to Cliff again in that interview with him, he clearly is talking about how his faith plays into what he does for a living. He's a man of God first and foremost. Now, however, when we look at when I talk and when I speak to people, people will come up to me and say, "Well, Dale, you're sowing the seeds of discontentment. That we should be content where we are in our job. Even if I don't like it, even if it's miserable, even if I feel like a cog in the wheel, I should be content." Now, I often hear this, and I used to feel pretty guilty about that when right after I became a Christian and was finding that my past jobs, I was not content. I thought, well, that was my fault. Now, is that true? Some of that's true, clearly. Some of that, things I could have done better in my past job. But, you know, I think that's a cop-out. I think that when we look at what's going on there, that's an excuse to stay miserable. Because, you know, we can be comfortable in our misery. We can be comfortable when we feel like we're not adding any value. We can be comfortable when we feel like a cog in the wheel. We can be comfortable when we feel like we don't agree with what the corporation we work for, or in the organization we work for, what they do and what they practice and what they preach, but we are comfortable there. Maybe comfortable in our misery. But I'm going to go back to the fact that most of you listening have household incomes of $100,000 or more. Now, I totally get it that there may be times that people are in slavery and you do what you have to do. Biblically, you'll find that spoken up how a slave should serve his master. That we may be in situations where we have to do things at work. Single moms might be in situations where they need to do certain things and kind of put up with certain things for a while. I get that. That we may have lost a job and we may have to do work that's not necessarily the funnest work in the world to us. I get that. But that's not where most of you are. Most of you are making over $100,000 in personal household income. So if you're sitting there saying, I need to be content and I need to find contentment, yes you do. But that doesn't mean you need to be content forever there. You need to be content. You need to serve with purpose. You need to serve with power. You need to serve as you're serving God, Christian or not. You need to serve as you're serving, if you want, to a higher power. But I'm sorry, you've got to serve right there if you keep wanting, if you want to keep getting paid for what you're doing. And I think most of you do. But where are you going tomorrow? If you're making over $100,000 a year and you're saying, I just need to be content, I think you're settling. I think you're settling. Now, I'm not saying you're settling with your corporation, because many of you are in situations, you're in larger corporations, and there's opportunities in there that you can grow into. One famous author, Seth Godin, says, you know, many people have, instead of having 10 years of experience, what they have is 1 year of experience 10 times. Now, if you got 20 years of experience, do you really have 20 years of experience, or do you have 1 year of experience 20 times, or 3 years of experience 7 times? You know, are you just doing the same thing over and over and not growing? And that's one of the worst possible things to do in a job situation, I think, is to be in a situation where you're not growing. You become stagnant. You become, feeling like a cog in a wheel, because you're just moving a piece of paper from one sheet side of the table to another. But my challenge to you today is if you're a man or a woman of faith, is to look at that question. Look back and do a search on my blog for Peter and the story of Peter stepping out of the boat. And we all know it. We know it well. If you're a person of faith, you know that story. But that's a challenge for you going into this, and especially going into this preparing for next year. So let's cover the preparing for next year right now. As I told you, I was going to give you some kind of steps to start getting your head together for preparing for the next year. In this case, it's 2014. So I have been in the last couple of months involved in strategic planning for organizations within the university, for other organizations I'm part of, nonprofits I take part in, you know, and I've been involved with a lot of strategic planning efforts. And so some of the same things that I'm watching that they do is maybe what we need to be doing for the strategic plan for the company or the business of us, or the company of you, or the company of one. So let me give you 5 steps just to think through. The first thing you want to do is set aside some time. And as I look at these strategic planning efforts, that's one thing, that the first thing you do is you set aside dates where you can get most of the team together. But for you, you just need to set aside some time on your calendar. I have set aside about 3 or 4 days of activity. Maybe not full days of activity, but 3 or 4 days just for planning. Now, this is the first time I've necessarily done that in this way. And part of it is being inspired by watching strategic planning going on. And by the way, corporate strategic planning is not always pretty, nor effective, nor any of those other things. But I'm trying to do what is effective for me. So, you want a few days where you can think thoroughly, you can gather some resources. And so the first thing to do is carve out time on your calendar that you can do that. Now, it may be for you time off from work, but it needs to be time that you're not encumbered by work. You're not encumbered by many family activities that are going on during this season. The second thing you want to do is find a place to plan. Now, if you've ever been involved in a strategic planning effort, you know usually you do not do this in your office, because you're going to get distracted. So many times corporations will go away to different places. They'll get away from electronics maybe. But you want to find a place that's away from distractions. Now for me, some places I do some of my best planning, oddly enough, you would think this would not be great, but are coffee shops. I mean, you get there and besides sometimes people walking in that you know to talk to you, but you're fairly without distractions. You don't have a lot of other things going on. And it's a comfortable environment. You know, then that may not be for you, but you know, finding a place, a home office that you can find things quiet, a place on the job, maybe where no other people are on there, everybody else is on vacation or not in the office. Maybe a conference room you can commandeer. I know some friends of mine who use libraries, and they find these conference rooms inside of libraries just to do this kind of activity. But the key thing is first of all, setting the time, and number two, setting the place to do your planning. The third thing you want to do is gather up resources. Now, if you think about planning effort, you know, I do a lot of planning with pen and paper. And I highly recommend writing things down physically, pen and paper. But I also will use whiteboards, markers, calendars. I'll use my computer. I may turn the internet off on the computer. And there's actually applications for the Apple and the Windows devices that will help you turn the internet off. That will force you to not be distracted by Facebook. And that's what I'm doing, you know, is so in this time before I get to the planning effort is making sure I have whiteboards up and ready, markers ready, calendars where I can look at them that are easy to review. I like things I can write on, notepads, things that I can pin up. You know, if you've done strategic planning efforts, you know that you oftentimes pull off these big sheets that are big, fat, sticky notes that are you know, probably 3 feet by 2 feet. Anyway, I don't know how big they are, but they're big sticky notes you can put on the wall that you can write on big, and they can be very visual. Mind mapping, you know, so I'm looking at what mind mapping tools I have on my Mac and what I can use to do that. So you just want to gather the resources because you don't want to be sitting there. It's like doing any other kind of job. You know, when you're starting to cook a meal, you don't want to be trying to find all your pots and pans and utensils and then realize, well, I got to go to the store to buy an ingredients. You do all that before you start to cook. So before you start to plan, gather your resources. The fourth thing is making a list of projects. Now, this is kind of comes from the David Allen Getting Things Done or the book Getting Things Done philosophy, but and I'm using Evernote. I have a note in Evernote called 2014 projects or whatever the next year is for you that I just list all the projects. These are things that I know are coming at me, things that I know I'm going to have to do, things that are already on my calendar, speaking engagements I'm going to be at, courses I'm going to be teaching, products I'm going to be releasing, things we're doing at the house, you know, things that I know that are coming. So I try to make a list because when I get in the planning mode, I don't want to, you know, halfway through my plan realize, wow, I forgot that big giant project and I haven't allocated any time or thought to it. So I want to gather all this. And this actually takes days because as you're going through the time here between now and my planning time, I keep getting reminded, oh yeah, I've got that to do and I've got that to do. As a matter of fact, even before starting this podcast, I came up on some things I had to write down. But on your list of projects, and I recommend you do that, start making a list, whether it's on paper, it's in Evernote, it's in a Word document, whatever. Create one place where you just start writing down things that you need to consider in your next year planning. Let me write this one down, or let me suggest one for you. New income, or maybe I should say income growth, since so many of you said that. Going back to how you answered my survey, income growth. Perhaps you want to use starting a new business. I want to write a book. For those of you who said, I want to write a book or start a blog, put that down on your next year plan. I mean, what are you waiting for? You don't have to wait till next year, but I mean, at least you can plan out time, because you're probably thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the time to do it. I don't know where to start. Well, all of that's part of a planning process. The first thing in that planning process, if I'm going to write a new book, would be find out the steps to write a new book. And by the way, how do I find out the steps to write a new book? Well, I can tell you. Send me an email. Send me a post. If you want to talk about that, we can even blog about it if you need me to. But it's not rocket science, as you probably could figure. But there are some things that you kind of need to get your head around. There's some things to do first. That's not necessarily the kind of things you would think you should do first. But that's part of planning, is recognizing what's the first step. And the first step sometimes is learning. What is the first step? Is learning the process, learning the steps that you should take. So number five is define a process that you like. Now, this is kind of what I was just alluding to. If you're a big goal setter, if you love the Zig Ziglar methodology of seven steps to setting a goal by defining obstacles and going through the seven steps, if you are a smart goal setter, if you're done goal setting, you know what I'm talking about. If you like a strategic planning approach, where you identify the people who are bought in, the people that are the key players first and foremost, you identify your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats first, whatever. You know, and there's nothing wrong with any of these processes, but you don't want to sit down on the first day and say, okay, what process am I going to use? I think you spend some time thinking about this, just like you're thinking about what to do. So, you know, if you have a favorite book on goal setting, I have a book called Eat the Frog by Brian Tracy that I tend to go back to that a lot of times. It's simple, very simplistic. But I'll go back to it in terms of its methodology to set goals. And there's nothing magic. Sometimes I go to Zig Ziglar, but sometimes I find myself confused because I've got all these things in front of me. I'm like, which methodology do I use? And you know, and then you realize, well, this is stupid. I'm spending time trying to figure out which system to use to set goals, but really all of them get to the same result. But all of them force you to think through something. And you just want to find something you're comfortable with. I downloaded Michael Hyatt's life plan, I think what it was called, setting a life plan. Now, and by the way, it's great material, but I downloaded it kind of thinking through this process, and I realized this is bigger, this is more overwhelming, this is too much stuff for setting a year's planning cycle, so I didn't want to do that. So although I think it's great material, and it's free material, setting a life plan, but it didn't fit me for setting goals, for setting a plan for the next year. And if you're like, hey, you know, Dale, I don't have a clue what plan to use, send me an email or shoot me a voicemail or something, as we'll talk about here at the end, and I will be glad to, you know, give you some of my best resources. I'll put a few of them in the show notes and the links, but I'll be glad to kind of talk you through what I use, what I don't like, why I don't like it. But you know, at the end, it's up to you. Use whatever works. None of them are magic. So again, that's the five steps that I think are to help you get prepared to prepare for next year. Is number one, set aside some time. And number two, set aside a place. Both of those to do your time and place to do your planning. Number three, gather the resources, the things like whiteboards and paper and things that you'll need to do it. Number four, make a list of the projects that you are going to want to work on next year. No details needed, but just make a list. And number five, define a process that you like, a goal setting process. I really believe if you get started now, and if you do these things and set aside that time and place and resources and really think through this, you will have a much more productive January 1st, 2nd, 3rd. You'll get off with a running start instead of doing like most people and say, what am I going to set for a New Year's resolution, in which we drop within the first week. What we're looking for is long time lasting change that matters to you. So if I can help in any way, let me know. And I will encourage you again, if you want to email me, it's dale@dalecallahan.com. Of course, you can leave a voicemail at dalecallahan.com. On the side, there's a little thing that calls SpeakPipe that you can leave me a voicemail. And many of you do that, and it's very helpful, actually helpful to hear people's voices. And you can, of course, the show notes here for this show are at dalecallahan.com/or/35 for the 35th episode. And again, I am trying to get up to ratings on this podcast. I'm trying to get enough ratings that iTunes will say there's enough ratings to show it. I don't know what that magic number is. Maybe it's 5. And I don't really know how many is in there because I can't tell. Some old ones are there. They seem to slide out. But, you know, if you will, I'm in a competition with a friend of mine trying to get up to the number of ratings he has, and it's a pain. I know it's a pain, but I appreciate it so much for those of you that have done that. And if you'll go over to iTunes, you look up Company of One iTunes, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, and just go give me a rating and a quick review, and that's very helpful, mainly because I want to compete with a friend of mine, so help me do that. But thank you so much for your time. Hopefully you'll get started on the planning effort, and hey, let me know how it's going. Go plan for your best year ever.